While the debt debate goes on in Washington, the world wonders why.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. While the world again looks on today at the haggling between the White House and Congress over raising the U.S. debt ceiling, last night in primetime, Americans were treated to dueling Washington speeches. President Obama warned folks about what could happen if Congress cannot find common ground.
But if we stay on the current path, our growing debt could cost us jobs and do serious damage to the economy.
In his Republican response, House Speaker John Boehner had dire warnings of his own.
In Washington, more spending and more debt is business as usual. Well, I've got news for Washington. Those days are over.
So how is the world looking at all of this? Many around the globe don't understand what a debt ceiling is, let alone why the U.S. has one. But is the American debt limit really all that unique? Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live now with the latest on that. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
Is the U.S. the only developed country with a debt ceiling?
According to IHS Global Insight, there is one other advanced country with a debt ceiling. Mm-hmm. That's Denmark. But their ceiling is so high, it's never a problem.
So they never have to raise it. All right. So how do other developed countries keep their debt under control?
Well, of course, some of them don't. But ultimately, the markets decide, investors decide whether a country is trying to borrow too much. They'll say these bonds are risky and demand a higher rate of interest. That's precisely what's happened in Europe over the past 18 months. Greece, for example, has seen some of its interest rates driven up to 24-25%. The government in Athens couldn't afford that and so had to be bailed out.
So, Stephen, how is it that the U.S. built in this debt ceiling when no one else did?
Well, it's part of the web of checks and balances in the U.S. system. Does it need a ceiling? Well, the U.S. is unique with the biggest and richest economy. The global financial system needs U.S. dollars and U.S. Government bonds to function. That means there's always a pretty big demand for U.S. dollars and bonds. And that means that investors don't punish the U.S. for high levels of debt. The U.S. can keep its interest rates fairly low. Because of this, some analysts argue that the debt ceiling is a good tripwire, an early warning system. Here's Steve Barrow, currency strategist at Standard Bank.
Without that process, the U.S. may just rack up too much debt and the markets may not punish it sufficiently until one day the market finally snaps and suddenly U.S. interest rates move dramatically higher.
When the euro was launched a decade ago, there were some debt limits for member countries, but they were widely flouted. Now, after all the market mayhem of the past 18 months, there are some here saying what the euro needs is a debt ceiling.
All right, Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are mixed at the moment. European stocks have turned lower. The U.S. Postal Service will announce today it's looking at shutting down 1 out of 10 of its retail stores. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow gave back 88 points to close at 12,592.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Allianz, providing retirement solutions that can help to guarantee income for life through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
As a kid, I was reading encyclopedias when everyone else my age was playing Pac-Man. So in an effort to escape the whole debt ceiling debate in Washington, I picked up a book, The Real State of America Atlas, that lays out how the rest of the country is doing economically, like state-by-state comparisons of personal bankruptcies. Cynthia Enloe co-wrote the book that's out today. She's with us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's map the American economy as it is, say, in your book. What does that map look like?
It really does matter in this country where you live. And even within regions, there's such diversity of economic conditions. So that if you live in the South, you can live in a lot of different economic conditions. So, for instance, in terms of personal bankruptcies, South Carolina has one of the lowest levels, mm-hmm. but right next door is Georgia that has one of the highest.
That's interesting. And there are many states that actually compare to big countries as far as their economies go, right?
That's certainly true. Today, the economy of California matches that of Brazil. And remember, Brazil is one of the great emerging tigers, if you will. And even little Vermont has an economy that is the size of Jordan.
I know the deficit and the debt ceiling debate have been sort of taking center stage. When you look at the big picture, how do our perceptions of government spending differ from reality?
Well, I think one of the stunning maps that we have shows states in terms of how much each state per capita receive from the federal government. One would think that some of the, if you will, reddest states would be the ones that don't get much from the federal government. Mm-hmm. But in fact, Alaska is number one. And Virginia, New Mexico, Kansas, North Dakota are all way up there. So I think that when you map the United States, it really can change the public conversation.
What were some of the most surprising facts you came across as you mapped all this information?
We're all interested in consumer products, right? So here's one of my favorite factoids. The little Mediterranean country of Malta, mm-hmm. per capita, drinks more Coca-Cola than any other people in the world.
No, I would never have thought Malta.
If you're a dentist in Malta, you probably are doing good business, too.
Cynthia Enloe co-wrote the Real State of America Atlas, and I thank you so much. Interesting conversation.
Thanks an awful lot, Steve.
And finally, a group of English villagers wanted to break a world record and create the world's smallest pub. So they started pouring pints for patrons in one of those red London telephone booths. Ah, alas, the bar didn't have a license to pour those pints. So the current record stands. The smallest permanent licensed bar in the world is still the 91-square-foot pub in Switzerland, known simply as the smallest whiskey bar on Earth. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Just getting a paycheck in the land of 9.2% unemployment is a blessing, right?
The lowest number of deaths is the day before the first, and then there's a large spike in mortality on the first of the month.
Or maybe not. I'm Kai Ryssdal, the curse of the paycheck, the numbers from Wall Street, and the day's business news. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.